Thank you so much for just allowing me to share today. Let me just start by saying, we did it! We did it! There's so many of you that helped by giving and rebounding and handing me a check and just all the things. We did it! Hallelujah. Today I'm going to share a little bit about the faith journey that brought me to this place. And if you were paying attention at all on Facebook Thursday night, we were updating every hour. It was like a telethon, someone said. We were updating the missions giving. It was at 48, 49. It was incredible. I went to bed that night. It was 49,700. I was tired. I had to get some sleep. I've hardly slept this past week. It's been weird. My wife will tell you, my mind has just been racing of the goodness of God. Woke up that next morning, it was $50,600. Somebody had just come in and blessed the church and made it possible. So I'm going to say it again. We did it! Hallelujah! And we could celebrate the goodness of God. I want to go back about 30 years. I know you don't think I'm that old, but I am. So I want to go back 30 years, and I'm going to start off this message today by going to a huge basketball game in my life. And yes, I'm going to talk about basketball. I'm going to talk about sports, so you're just going to have to get used to it for today. Someone say amen. I mean, I've been shooting for the past 50 days, so we're going to talk about basketball. Yesterday, my wife was driving. We went on a little date because I did not have to shoot yesterday. And I asked her, could you drive? So we were coming home from our date, and I was like, wow. This is the first time in 50 days that I'm not driving somewhere. And I just sat back, put the chair back, and she was like, relax. It was nice. It was really nice. That truck and I and Elijah and my family, we've been going everywhere in that truck. It's been a lot of fun. But I take you back 30 years to a big game. This game was huge. There was 2 seconds left on the clock. 2 seconds. We were down by 2. And it was our ball with the ball out of bounds. Now, the crowd was immense. There was at least 5 in the stands. It was a church league basketball game. I was done with college. I was done with high school. All those things were in the past. But this was church league. And I tell you what, it didn't matter that there was no TV cameras there. There was hardly any fans there. But in that moment, it was a big moment. We had a timeout with the ball. And I said to the young man taking it out of bounds, I said, Ryan. So if you're watching, Ryan, remember this. I said, Ryan, I don't care where I am on the court when the ref hands you the ball. You get me the ball. Now, I didn't say that very often, but on this team, I knew I had to shoot. I mean, just to give you an example, one game, we had 49 as a team. I had 44. And it was just one of those kind of, I had to score a lot for us to even be in the game. So I looked at him and I said, Ryan, get me the ball. So the defense was all over me. And here's my helper, my beautiful daughter, Kimberly. And so the defense was all over me, and they pushed me all the way out to half court. What a pass. What a pass, Kimberly. And all I had time to do was turn and shoot. I mean, half court. Now, it was a church size court, a little bit smaller than normal, but it was still half court. We'll count it as that. I turn and I shot. Phew. I had better chance of making it than somebody underneath the basket from my team, I tell you what. So I shot that thing and everybody froze. I mean, it was just one of those moments where my team froze, the other team froze, all five fans froze. It was awesome. And that ball went straight up and it was heading straight in. You guys want to know what happened? Danny, are you ready? Ready? Can you catch it? No, okay. I'll never forget it. That ball went in! Now, we were down by 2 points, and a half-court shot is worth 3 points, and we won the game! My hands immediately went up. And I went, whoa! My team surrounded me and they gave me fives. They hit me. I mean, they tackled me. It was one of those moments I'll never forget. Victory! The other team was defeated. I don't care. But in that moment, the game wasn't big. The game wasn't huge. No one outside of that room cared. But we had a moment of victory. And as I reflect on that all these years ago, I say, life is not always like this. Woo! It's not. Time for work, Monday morning. Woo! Anybody feel that way? All right, we got a couple. All right, good. Time for school. Woo! Any students feel that way? We got one, all right. But sometimes marriage is not. Sometimes it's a fight. Sometimes life is a fight. And sometimes you walk through life, instead of walking around with your hands up high, your hand is down low because you're defeated. And I thought about victory. I wish all of life was like that every moment. Woo! I wish it was, but it's not. I mean, I felt like that on Friday when I made that 1,000th shot. I was like, woo! I mean, I was so excited to be done. I shot terrible that day. It was a terrible shooting day. My body was so amped up, Pastor. I could not get my excitement calmed down enough, but I made 1,000 shots that day on TV. But I believe that somebody today needs a victory. No matter where you're at, there are times you and I need a victory. Your family may need a victory. Your marriage may need a victory. Your job may need a victory. You may be defeated at school. Today you might need a victory. And I want to just share just a little bit of faith and encouragement today, ingredients for a victory. I'm grateful to have my mother-in-law and father-in-law here today. Let's give them a great big hand. They thought it was worth coming to hear me preach, so that was very good. You see, I am not what I'm about to share. I'm not a baker. But when you bake a cake, and you can ask my sister-in-law, Suzanne, who's probably the best cake maker in the world, when you put in the ingredients, you mix all of them correctly, it should come out something amazing. It comes out of that oven smelling delicious. But if you ever put something in the oven and you kind of weren't sure about things and you taste it and you go, ew, some of your ingredients were off, some of your ingredients were bad, or you did something wrong. Well, I want to share with you some principles, some ingredients for victory that I hope you can be encouraged today to take home with you for your family, your life, your marriage, and go into this week with victory. Somebody say amen. The Olympic athletes that we've been watching this past 2 weeks, they've been preparing for years for this moment. Years for this moment. Sometimes these things last for seconds. And they've been preparing for years for this moment. I go all the way back to when I was just in middle school shooting free throws in the back of my house in Bloomer, Wisconsin. Never thought that one day we would raise $51,000 plus for missions shooting those free throws. That was years ago. And these Olympic athletes, they've been practicing the grueling hours, the grueling diet and exercise that goes into a few moments of competition. You see, victory doesn't just happen during those 1,000 free throws or during that pool moment or during that race. It happens in the hours and the practice before. And you see, folks, if we want victory in our life, it doesn't just happen on a Sunday morning. It happens early on a Tuesday morning and a Tuesday afternoon when you get alone with God and say, God, I've got to have victory in my life. It takes place when no one else is watching. You see, the Olympic athletes, they were practicing. They were swimming in the pool. Michael Phelps will tell you, sometimes he hated to get in that pool. It was cold. It was wet. But he's an Olympic champion over and over because of it. If you want a victory in your life, if you want to go above the status quo, then I want you to sit up and pay attention, take some notes, and we are going to see God's victory. Well, Pastor Perry, I want a happy marriage. Are you willing to lay aside your own self for your spouse? I want a godly family. Are you willing to do what's necessary for your family? I want to walk in ministry. Are you willing to walk the steps to prepare for ministry? I want to share this scripture with you. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? This is Romans 8, 35 through 39. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. You ever been there? Do you feel like that at times? This is my key part of the verse right here. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory. Say that with me. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Say overwhelming victory again. Overwhelming victory. Look at your neighbor and say, you can have overwhelming victory. That's right. Folks, Jesus wants to give us a life that has victory, that we are not just barely surviving. We don't need to be walking around with our head hung low and just trying to barely make it through life. I believe we are triumphant, more than a conqueror, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I hear an amen? And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have everything you need in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for the victory. I thank you, Lord, for the victory that has happened here. The money that's been raised. But I'm excited about what's going to happen later, too. The souls that are going to be won. The stories that we're going to hear. And I'm excited about victory in my life and your people's lives. I pray, God, that today someone will leave just a little more encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. The first ingredient that I have for you is you've got to listen. Everybody say listen. So faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17 says, that is hearing the good news about Christ. You know, when Joshua was wondering how to conquer the city of Jericho, he was out praying and God met him there. And God told him how to beat the enemy, how to defeat that city. Now, he had to first hear it and hear it here before he went and delivered. You know, some of you, in your march to victory, you've got to hear what God's saying. You've got to hear it in your spirit. Maybe today, you're going to hear something that's going to trigger a victory. When the blind man needed healing, he heard that Jesus was headed that way. When you and I need a victory in our life over sin or in our marriage or in our family, we've got to hear it from the Word. So leading up to this 50 days of free throws, and I'm going to refer a lot to this, I have felt for many months, maybe even a year or so, that God wanted me to do something big for my 50th birthday. I know a lot of you are thinking, boy, you do not look 50, and I appreciate that. But my birthday is tomorrow. Thank you. And I wanted to do something that was just like, God, because I was afraid of 50. Anybody here 50 or over? Let me see your hands. How many were ever afraid? At one time, you were afraid of 50. Let me see your hands. Be honest. All right, thank you. See, I was afraid of 50. And so I said, God, instead of me being fearful of 50, let me do something big for you. And let me just give you all the glory. So I began to hear in my spirit, just in praying, 1,000 free throws a day. 50 days. Began to hear it, began to pray it. Sounded weird. I mean, looking back now, it's kind of cool because of what happened, but before it sounded weird. That's weird, Lord. That's a lot of free throws. In fact, that's a lot of effort. Is this really you? So the first thing I did was listening to that whisper, to that still small voice, listening to his presence. The second ingredient that I want to share with you is to proclaim. Proclaim. You got to tell somebody. If you want victory, you might have to tell yourself. But you got to say, I'm an overcomer. Everybody say it with me. I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. You've got to say it. You've got to repeat it. You got to look in the mirror and say, hey, you're an overcomer, buddy. Sometimes we don't feel it. Sometimes we don't think we've got it. But Jesus has given us everything we need to be an overcomer. So we got to start proclaiming. And then we got to start telling others who are trustworthy. Not everybody's trustworthy. So you got to be careful. But Joshua, when he got the word to how to defeat Jericho, God said to march around six days, once each day, and then seventh time. God, he heard all of that. Then he had to go tell his leaders. Listen up. Here's how we're going to defeat the city of Jericho. May sound a little funny, me saying it, but here's what God said. And he proclaimed it. He told the priests, told the leaders. And once you proclaim it, then you start holding yourself accountable. You look at your husband and say, you know what, I really feel like we need more of God in our marriage. We can cause a fight with that. Family, we're going to be a family that goes after God. We're going to start by going to church. What? We like sleeping it. You're going to have to proclaim it. I know we've got Christian families here, but you know there's a lot of families that they don't believe. But I believe that we're going to see some victories as they start moving forward in the presence of God. Proclaiming it. David proclaimed, I will fight this giant. Bring him on. So I started by sharing this dream of 50,000 free throws with my wife. She's a pretty good person to share things with. And we began to just dream about it. I said, you think this is a good idea? I mean, we dreamed about going to every state and shooting free throws. Wouldn't that have been cool? But that's kind of a lot of money, and we don't have that kind of money. So we just dream, what does God want us to do with this? So I started by sharing it with my wife, and then I had to go talk to Pastor Larry. Pastor Larry's always supportive. He's always great. But, you know, sharing something crazy is just, what's he going to say? Hey, Pastor Larry, I'm kind of thinking about, you know, doing this. And he's like, that's a horrible idea. No, he didn't say that. Pastor Larry was supportive, and then he did something even crazier. We're in staff meeting. He goes, hey, Perry, why don't you tell him what you're thinking about doing? I'm like, oh, great. Proclaim. You see, once you proclaim it, then you kind of got to move forward with it. I shared it with that staff. Man, that was interesting. I'm looking forward to the day that David does 50,000 donuts for missions. Do you remember that? Anyways, we had some fun with that. And then we shared it with you guys. And I was like, what are they going to think? I mean, sometimes it's hard. You know, we do video announcements and you broadcast something, you proclaim something. You don't know. And then I started talking to my to-be intern, Elijah. He was going to come down. Elijah, most of you know him. He's back with the kids right now. He was in first service. But I said, Elijah, I'm thinking about this crazy idea. What do you think? And he goes, let's go. He loved it. If you know Elijah, you know that's one of his sayings. And so I began to proclaim, but part of me was wondering, is this dumb? Is this really necessary? I mean, do we really need to do this? I mean, did God really need the people to do that, to destroy the city of Jericho? I mean, could God have done it on his own? Sure he could. But let me tell you a secret. God needs you and I, and we'll get to it, to act. God needs you and I to step forward, and I got to move on. The next thing you need is faith. Now you got to start believing in it. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Joshua saw the city conquered before it happened. So many stories in Scripture, they saw it before it happened. Now, I must admit, I had doubts about the mission. You will have doubts about yours as well. You will have doubts and wonder if you heard correctly from God. I must admit, I was wondering at times if I was wasting my time. Is this going to be 50 days of physically pushing myself, exhausting myself, waking my kids up way too early? Right, Catherine? There were times I pulled them out of bed. Another day of free throws. Catherine was a beast underneath that back on that backboard. She was awesome. And JP, who's back with the kids, he was amazing. I mean, they were just constantly helping me. At times, my faith was stretched. And then God began to show up. Offerings began to come in. We began to see victory after victory. How does faith show up? In obedience. We're going to move through these quick. Making the decision to obey. Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments. John 15:14. If God says in your spirit to do something, obey him and do it. The next thing, you cannot have victory without action. You have to have action. James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. You might have to take the first step to your brother or sister and say, I am sorry. You might have to take the first step to your spouse and say, I am sorry. You might have to walk around those walls of Jericho. Action. Shooting 50 days of free throws, 1,000 a day, like Pastor said, was action. What is God saying to you to do? Maybe it's to step forward. Maybe it's to step to somebody. Maybe it's to give. Maybe it's to go. Action. The next thing you need is a little bit of don't quit. Someone say, don't quit. Galatians 6:9 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. I got to tell you, just a couple of days in this journey. Day number 3 was horrible. Day 3. It was June 20th. It seems like such a long time ago, but day 3. It was a Sunday. It was Father's Day. And I was thinking before, I'm going to have Father's Day with just my family, and we're going to have a wonderful family time. It was horrible. My family was great. I was so tired that day. I was exhausted. As I was shooting free throws, I was missing. It was bad. And I shot 1,000 free throws that day in 53 minutes. Isn't that horrible? I mean, I averaged 33 minutes. My best time was 24. So 53 minutes that was like world record time, but terrible shooting. And while I'm shooting, I'm thinking, is this worth it? My arms started hurting right here and right here. In fact, it was hurting so bad, I got scared. Back in 2012, I tried to do a free throw thing. I tried to make 10,000 free throws in one setting. It took me 9 hours. I did not get to 10,000. The gym closed. And I'm thankful that the gym closed because I couldn't even lift my arm. My mom was still alive at that time, and she said, Perry, don't ever do that again. I mean, it was so bad. And so as I'm shooting on day number 3, I thought, this is a bad idea. Part of me wanted to just say, you know what, it's not worth it. I had to go the next day to Bonifay. That next morning, I'm in the office here at the church, and I call my good friend Nate. I talked about him in the first service too, and I said, Nate, please help me. My arm is hurting. I don't know if I can do this. Nate brought some stuff, tools, and kind of gave me some stretches. And I said, okay. So I began to stretch. I began to ice it for a few days. And let me tell you, after those few days were done, my arm has been amazing. And I just give praise to the Lord God. I thank Nate for helping me get through that time. But day 3 was a bad day. I want to tell you about another day, world record day. Day number 40. So we decided that we were going to shoot for an hour, not like that first one I was telling you about. But this one was fast speed and accuracy, and we were going to try to break the world record, the Guinness World Record. Just in case you don't know, for anybody that's new here, I broke the world record 3 times for the most free throws made in 1 hour for the glory of God and for missions. So I had it since 2018, and Pastor walks up to me one day and says, he says, you're not going to want to hear this, Perry. I said, what's that? He goes, I think you should go for the world record again. I mean, since you're doing all this, and I'm like, ugh. But the more I went and the faster I got, I mean, I was getting faster. There were days, I mean, I sweat every time I do this, but there were days I was getting done with 1,000 free throws and going, hey, let's go get something to eat. I mean, I was just feeling great. So we decided day 40 was the day. It was a Tuesday morning. We didn't announce it. We didn't tell anybody. We just said, okay, I need a team here. We're going to shoot for an hour. So I'm shooting free throws. Boom, boom, boom. I make 1,000 under 24 minutes. I mean, we were cooking. Ben Perry he's got the stats in his hands, and he's reading. He's telling me, you're 20 ahead of pace. You're 50 ahead. I mean, he was just about 35 minutes into it, though. I got this feeling, I mean, I was exhausted. I got this feeling of these 3 words, I don't care. Because when your body gets to a place, you want to just shut down. I said, I don't care. I mean, I wasn't shooting that slow, but I was just, boy, I don't care. And then I had something else. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? I had to literally push those things out of my mind and say, okay, God, for your glory, it's worth it. And I do care. I do care. And some amazing things happened when we got to that hour and I got the world record of 2,461, a brand new record. And God was given glory. And I believe that brought even more finances in. And God did some amazing things through that. Can someone say, praise the Lord? So you may be struggling to this point, and I'm trying to move on, to the point of exhaustion in your life. You may say, I don't care, or is this worth it? But I'm going to tell you right now, you do care. Look at your neighbor and say, you do care. And say, you are worth it. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. Don't give up. The last two things, I'm going to move on quick. The next thing is encouragement. If you're on your way to victory, you need encouragement. Around every corner, there are naysayers, there are scoffers, there's negativity. You're going to attract them like flies, but I'm going to tell you, get some people around you that are going to encourage you. Amen. I'm going to say thank you to my wife and my kids. They were big encouragers. Yeah. They got up with me every time they could and went with me to help me. Elijah was a huge encourager. Give him a hand, even though he's not here. He's in the back. Pastor Larry was a huge encourager. He kept encouraging me, and the staff kept encouraging me. And the church folks kept encouraging me. Give yourselves a hand. Woo! You kept giving. You kept rebounding. You kept wanting. With tears in your eyes, you would hand me checks, and you would say, keep on going for it, Pastor. WCTV was a huge encouragement for me. I sent out the flyer to them, just hoping that maybe somebody, and they embraced it, they loved it, and they did well. Can we hear it for WCTV? The last thing I want to say, the last ingredient is to trust God for the miracle. You keep your eyes on Jesus and you do everything that you are supposed to do, then it's up to you to trust God. When we came to that last day and we had broken $50,000 and more, it was incredible. But I got to tell you more. Tuesday of this past week, and I know she's watching right now, an old high school classmate reached out to me and said, how do I give? I sent her the link to give, and she sent money, and we began to talk. Because of basketball opened the door. Over the years, this young lady, but she's the same age as me, so we're still young, has gone through some major tragedy in her life. I was able to pray with her and encourage her, and we talked on Tuesday night. Friday night, after I had finished the $50,000 and we were done. As we were getting ready to close our eyes, we were exhausted. My old high school classmate said, I need prayer. Nicole and I called her and we began to talk. And right there on the phone, folks, we led her to Jesus. And Carla, I know you're watching. I want you to say hello to Carla. Everybody say hello, Carla. She told me she was going to be watching. And yesterday I spent time with her in her first discipleship session about how to draw closer to Jesus. Because of basketball, open the door. God brought victory because of basketball. And I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what you're going through. But overwhelming victory can be yours in Christ Jesus, who loves us.